You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In Manil Suri's latest novel, The City of Devi, India and Pakistan are on the verge of nuclear war. Terrorists have set off dirty bombs in cities around the world, and hackers have crashed the world's communication and information networks. Along with the rest of the world, India is ablaze with ethnic violence, and in the midst of this calamity, a woman must make her way across a war-torn landscape to find her missing husband. Manil Suri is a professor of mathematics at the University of Maryland, and this is his third novel, the final book of a trilogy based on the Hindu Trinity that also includes the novels The Death of Vishnu and The Age of Shiva. It is published by Norton, and I'm very pleased that it brings Manil Suri back to our show. Hello.
Hi.
This novel, like your others, takes place in Mumbai. Although you live in the United States, does it continue to be the city of your imagination?
It seems to be, and I think it has to do with where you grow up. I think that just kind of gets emblazoned in your mind. So when I'm looking for what is fertile in terms of literary possibility, I always reach towards Mumbai.
Well, what was your childhood like growing up in Mumbai? Hadn't your family been forced to leave their traditional home after partition in 1947?
Yes, they actually were married just a few weeks before partition and didn't even open their wedding presents. They had to flee for their lives, pretty much.
And many people died during
Many
that
people
time.
Died, about 500,000, I think. I, of course, grew up, I mean, I was born in 59, so that was several years after. And I just grew up in Bombay, or Mumbai now it's called. And so it was a disconnect, but you know, still those things last for generations.
Don't some of its residents still call it Bombay? What determines whether you say Mumbai or Bombay?
Part of it has to do with social class in some sense. There's an English-speaking middle class that will often call it Bombay. People who grow up speaking of Bombay will keep calling it that. The word Mumbai actually came up in the 90s, early 90s, and it was initiated by a sort of right-wing party that wanted to return the name to its original Marathi speakers. And I personally, I think I call it both, and I'm actually quite happy with both names.
Now, Bombay is seen as the colonial city name, but does anybody know what? Because the British often just got it wrong. Sri Lanka becomes Ceylon, mm-hmm. for example. Do we know what the name was before the Brits came?
Well, it was, according to Salman Rushdie, it was called Bombay, which means good bay in Portuguese. The local people called it Mumbai, but that was more related to the goddess Mumba Devi. And that's one of the reasons why I've called this book The City of Devi, because if you go to Bombay, there are parts of it that are named after the mother goddess, Prabha Devi, Kalba Devi, Mumba Devi.
Well, we still call it Bollywood, the film industry that's in Mumbai. We could call it Mollywood, couldn't we?
We could, but let's stick to Bollywood.
Now, how long ago did you leave to study in the United States?
I came to the U.S. in 1979, and I studied for 4 years, and then I've been working at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County ever since.
But I assume you go back regularly.
I do. In fact, I've been going back quite often, 2 times, even 3 times a year.
Does being removed from a place help you to write about it better because you have a certain amount of distance?
I think it does, at least for me, and it gives me the distance and also the space to kind of be away from the chaos of Bombay and be able to see it with some perspective, especially for this book, since I had to really reimagine the whole city when it had been torn by war.
Well, all three books have taken place there. But they're not connected other than that they're set in Mumbai. So the city becomes one of your characters.
In fact, it's the only character that's common to all three books. And what this sort of loose trilogy has become is a triptych of the present, past, and future.
Well, the other two books, I would say, would be more realistic than this book. This book seems to be influenced by Bollywood movies.
It's a very wild and crazy ride in some sense. And the reason for that is it's imagined fiction. It's very speculative. It's in the future. It's also a very big story. And the only way to kind of handle it is to put in those cinematic elements.
Well, do you think that Bollywood movies influence people the way they act in India?
Absolutely. I think, you know, even the way we speak, there's so much dialogue that you just absorb while growing up that you just speak that way even.
And then so many of the Bollywood films have been about the gods.
There have been, but not that many. I think there was one example called Jai Santoshima in the 80s or so, or 70s. And this was an unknown goddess, and suddenly there were temples to her all over the country.
Now, where did the idea for this novel come from? Because this seems like a real departure for you.
Yeah, it is. And I think I've tried to just step away from what I've been doing before. So I had this idea of, you know, this kind of desperate love that things are winding down, perhaps. Your life is going to end. What will you look for if you just have 4 days to live? And so that's the kind of pressure that makes these people actually take incredible risks to be able to find these lovers.
You have a number of narrators here.
I have two of them, yes.
The first one is Sarita, who's trying to buy a pomegranate in a bombed-out market when the novel begins.
Right.
A pomegranate actually turns out to be rather significant.
It does, but not in the way that you would expect. You know, the pomegranate is presented as this very ripe symbol from the Kama Sutra. It's an aphrodisiac. But then it really tells her the secret of her marriage, but in a very different, unexpected way.
She's a statistician.
She's a statistician.
A mathematician.
Notice that I didn't go for a mathematician. I'm taking it step by step, easing the public into this.
Because you didn't want people to say, how autobiographical is this?
Yeah, or just, you know, a mathematician, I'm not going to buy this book. I'm not going to read it.
She's searching for her husband, Karun. What's he like?
He's a physicist, so there's another math connection. But he's very reticent. He's almost like a Shiva-like figure. He's an ascetic almost. You don't really get to know him until much later in the book.
Well, the marriage hasn't been consummated.
It hasn't.
Despite her attempts.
Right, and she's actually developed this very elaborate way of giving stars to different acts that occur. Like she gives her certain nights 2 stars and 3 stars. And being a statistician, she even calculates the standard deviation.
Now, what's going on in Mumbai at this time?
In terms of the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I mentioned she was in a bombed-out market.
Yeah, what's happened is that there's been a Bollywood film called Super Devi that's, through a bunch of reasons, has resulted in the city splitting into Muslim and Hindu areas. And Sarita, who's Hindu, has to negotiate these areas. And she actually joins up with a Muslim character, a gay Muslim character, who's the second narrator, and his name is Jazz.
No, that's J-A-Z, not J-A-Z-Z.
Yes, J-A-Z.
Would that be a common name?
His real name is Ijaz, which is a Muslim name, but he calls himself Jazz, or also the Jazzster.
Now, he befriends Sarita to help her in her search. But then later we realize there are other reasons for that.
Yes.
I don't know how much I want to reveal.
Yeah, I know. That's always the problem with this book. But Jazz, he's a very interesting. He's probably my favorite character out of all the ones that I've written, in the sense that he's grown up all over the world. He's, you know, he's gay and he is very open about it, very honest about it.
In a homophobic country.
I would not call India homophobic. I would just call it ignorant, if anything. And, you know, I was just there and I found that people, you know, I read out sections from Jazz, which I wasn't supposed to, I was told. And no one fainted. And, you know, the country went on.
But we're talking about a country where right now there's a big debate over whether women are fair game for rape. So there are complicated attitudes towards sex.
Absolutely. And I think the Indian way is to always put sex underneath the wraps and not talk about it overtly. But there is also this idea, this very Indian idea of accommodation. And so as long as you're not too overt, I think things are tolerated. And of course, the Indian rape case is something that's been going on for many years. And, you know, that has a lot to do with the kind of city Delhi is, which is very different from Bombay, which is much safer.
In your past novels, you've dealt with the Hindu-Muslim divide, poverty, the oppression of women. This is the first one where you talk about homosexuality. Is it still rare to have a gay character in Indian literature?
I think so. I think it's pretty rare. On the other hand, there's just been an anthology released, you know, gay, short gay fiction. While I was there, Time Out Mumbai had an entire issue just on gay life in Bombay. So things are changing.
My guest is Manil Suri, whose latest novel is The City of Devi. Throughout the book, there are recurring themes and images, including the Trinity or Triangle. The Trinity, the three, is a really important number in India, isn't it? Or just was hearing about the festival that's taking place in India this time, celebrating the convergence of three holy rivers.
You're probably talking about the Kumbh Mela.
Yes.
And three also plays a role, not just in Hinduism, but in other religions as well, as the sort of divine trinity. In Hinduism, the usual trinity is Shiva, Vishnu, and Brahma. Brahma is supposed to be the creator, but in terms of the deities that are actually worshipped, the mother goddess is the one who really should be in there, and that's why I've used her in this.
So those are the three gods that you've named your novels after. And that's did you know from the start you're going to do a trilogy?
I sort of announced it very casually after the first book, and then I found it impossible to back out of it. So it's taken like one-third of my life, but yeah.
Now, there's a lot about politics here in the story. China is involved in the affairs of this
right.
country, the conflicts of India and Pakistan. Were you thinking about the way politics is developing, the continuing struggle between India and Pakistan, and the possibility that there ever could be peace, or whether China will wind up becoming an important third player? Was that one of the things that got you thinking about this novel, or was it Sarita?
I think the main idea was about the actual characters, Sarita, Karun, and Jazz. But once I started, I needed to set things up. And China, really, again, it forms a trinity with India and Pakistan. And China and Pakistan actually are very friendly in terms of defense. So that is a threat to India that is understood by many people.
Well, many people have pointed out that although India and Pakistan both have nuclear weapons, it's unlikely that they would use them against each other because they would also affect the country that dropped the bomb
because
of nuclear fallout.
Well, yes and no, but in the fog of war, who knows what can happen, especially since Pakistan is not so stable politically. I mean, it has all these things happening every day. What's happened in the past is that the U.S. or the U.N. has stepped in to calm things down. This is what happened in 2002 when embassies were actually evacuating their personnel from India. But in the novel, what happens is that the West gets embroiled in their own problems, so they can't step in. And that's when this worst-case scenario could actually play out.
Because there are problems all over the world.
Yes, there's a cyber attacks that suddenly start occurring, and so that's a sort of post-9/11 type thing.
Now, as I mentioned, you're a professor of mathematics at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. There have been other mathematician novelists in the past.
I guess Lewis Carroll comes to mind.
Yeah, well, do you think there is some kind of a connection, the way the minds work?
I think there are subconscious ways of solving problems, whether you're writing a novel or trying to prove a theorem. We are all human beings, and we only have certain types of tools at our disposal. So subconsciously, I think there are things that that are similar. But I think there's a danger in taking that too far. At one point, while I was writing this novel, I actually came up with a mathematical proof that I thought showed that this novel could not be written. and I was very happy because I'd gone through this decision tree of plot outlines, and I just couldn't make it work. But obviously, I was wrong.
Well, as a mathematician, you should have thought in terms of quadratics instead of threes, no?
Well, maybe that'll be the next novel.
Well, now that you've finished your Mumbai trilogy, are you going to move your subject matter to the United States?
Actually, the next novel is a sort of math novel. I've been trying to write a nonfiction book in math to make it accessible to non-mathematicians. But then I thought, I'm a novelist, so let's make it a novel. So that's my next project.
Manil Suri is the best-selling author of The Death of Vishnu, which was a finalist for the Penn Faulkner Award, also The Age of Shiva. His latest is The City of Devi, which is published by Norton. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.